title of this afternoon's message, Glad You're Saved. Of course, I always say it anyway, but this isn't actually the title here. Glad You're Saved. And of course, goes kind of hand in hand with this morning's message, you know, about the kingdom work that God has called us to and the Great Commission and telling others about who Jesus is. You know, and as we labor, may of course we have the right attitude towards God. Maybe I'll just start off with this illustration. And so it was Black Friday last November, so 2025. And any Fleet Farm fans, right? Okay, but anyway, so we got the flyer from Fleet Farm. And apparently, if you were the first, I forget, 100 shoppers or 400, I forget what count it was, to show up after doors open, you got this free, completely free, no strings attached. It was a moose plushie, a stuffed toy, stuffed animal. Moose looked cute, you know. And my son Lucas said, "Dad, I really, really want that." I'm like, "I'll just get you one." I said, "But no, this is exclusive Fleet Farm, you know." And in fact, we just looked at it yesterday, or was it the day before? It's kind of embroidered in there, you know, Fleet Farm 2025. And so I guess you could start your collection every Black Friday. But anyway, and so like, fine. You know, I sighed for my toes, but I think 4 a.m., like, I got there at 5 a.m. or something. I forget what time I got there. And of course, it had to be of Wisconsin, so it's cold before sunrise. This was November. I get in there, and the line was already forming. People, the doors haven't opened yet, but then there's a line forming, like, all right, fine. So I joined the line. My breath was coming up. I might have stood there for maybe an hour, you know, and for a $5 plushie, $8, I don't know, but it's exclusive. And so finally the doors open, and I thought to myself, I probably shouldn't have prayed for such a carnal thing, but I said, Lord, it'll be a blessing if they weren't, you know, if they weren't out of them. Because it's first come, first serve. And there could be a chance that, you know, because I was counting the heads. I was like, all right. And it's, you know, only one stuffy per person. But and in some families, there were like four of them. Like, ugh, there's like four guys right here. And then so like one, two, three, four, five, counting the heads. Like, well, I hope I make the cut, you know. And so, well, long story short, I did. And so I get there, I get my plushie. I'm like, all right, we got it. And so I have the stuffed moose stuffy. But then the line all cleared. And then I saw, man, they still had big tubs of more stuffy moose. You know, they still had them. And then there were people walking in later, just kind of walking right in and say, well, welcome to Fleet Farm. Here's your stuffed moose. And so they got the plushie anyway. And all of a sudden, my joy of having that plushie turned into bitterness. Because I'm like, man, these guys didn't even wait. They just literally showed up for 1 minute, walked right in, and got their free plushie. I've been waiting in the cold for an hour. I should have gotten two. Right? Now, maybe you can guess where I'm going. Let's go to Matthew 20. Because I was caught up with a bad attitude. Instead of being thankful for the plushie I had for my son, I was getting bitter because I should have gotten more. These guys didn't even hardly wait, right? And so let's go to Matthew 20. Matthew chapter 20. Let's go to verse 1. Of course, this is the parable of the laborers and the vineyard owner. And so Matthew chapter 20, let's go to verse 1. And before I kind of read this, I'm going to read all the way down to verse 16, actually, so the whole parable. But again, to the title of the message, are you glad you're saved? Are you really, really glad that you're saved? Because if we are truly as glad as we should be that we are saved, we won't envy, we wouldn't compare, and I wouldn't get bitter or envious of others, and I wouldn't think I need more stuff, right? And so let's go to verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that as thine, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing to be in thy house. Help us always to be thankful that we're saved, to keep our focus on heavenly things, not to be envious and bitter or jaded, but Lord, to be truly thankful that we are saved, and to be truly thankful when anyone else gets saved. And Father, we love you. Bless the preaching of thy word. May we have the right attitude as we labor for, in the harvest field of thy kingdom, in Jesus' name. Amen. And now this parable of the laborers here, the key verse, I believe that Jesus is the Lord Jesus, and making the point is in verse 10, where when the first batch of laborers, is payday, and so they come up for their pay, the emphasis is that they were supposed, they thought they should get more. And all of a sudden, what was thankful and joyful for them to be hired, now they're kind of grumpy about it, envious that the others got the same as them, even though they worked longer, okay? Were laboring longer, were hired for a longer time. And again, to put it in context, a penny a day is not like we think 1 cent, okay? Penny in Bible days, as a denarius, it's a Roman currency, typically equivalent to a day's labor for a Roman soldier, okay? And so a penny would be the pay that a armed and trained, well-equipped and provided for a Roman soldier would get. So a penny a day is actually, in and of itself, pretty generous. Okay, it's pretty generous. If you can, as a Jewish, non-Roman, not a soldier, just a regular person, get a penny a day, you're doing pretty good. Okay, so just to put it in context, and this is really, in this parable, it shows two opposing attitudes, two contrasting opposite attitudes. You have the dissatisfaction, the disgruntledness of the first hour laborers who wanted more. But then you have the utter joy of the 11th hour laborers who made the cut. Standing there at the close of the day, like, well, how am I going to feed my family? The sun's going down and it's 11th hour. And of course they get hired. They're like, would you like to get hired? Like, yeah. and make the cut. Oh, yeah. And can you imagine the testimony? You come back to their wife and like, wait, you just called me at the 10th and a half hour, you're still waiting around. I didn't think anything. Well, yeah, but honey, the master came out and said, we need a few more guys. And he gave me the whole day's wage. I mean, they're so overjoyed that they made the cut versus those that were hired to begin with that kind of got jaded and bitter. Now, this is where it where the rubber meets the road. This parable in chapter 20 actually piggybacks off the exchange of the rich young ruler in chapter 19 and then Peter asking the Lord, what would he get because they've forsaken everything? So the context is actually, if you go back with me to Matthew 19, the last verse is actually salvation. Okay, so this is talking about salvation. Okay, so look at verse 30 of chapter 19. Again, Jesus gives the principle, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Okay, and so that's kind of where it kind of, and then it kind of springs into chapter 20 with this illustration, this parable, to teach this point, right? And so the principle is right there, Matthew 19:30. In fact, this is also the same verse paraphrase of that Jesus speaks. In fact, just two chapters later, if you turn with me to Matthew 22, and then go to verse 11, this is another parable that Jesus talks about, the wedding guests, and then the one that was there, he was invited, he showed up, but no wedding garment, meaning he's not safe, he does not have the robe of righteousness, you know, as far as what Jesus gives us, his righteousness. And so he's not saved, even though he was invited. And so we go to Matthew 22. Look at verse 11. These are all these kind of string together. And when the king came to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And especially in those days, the king, as the host, actually provided garments for the guests. Okay, so they have a whole bunch of suit jackets. You know, people come in, look a little disheveled off the streets. Well, we'll dress you up. Okay, now you look proper for the wedding. Go on in. And so the idea is he didn't want what the king offered. He showed up, but in his own filthy rags, right? As opposed to the righteousness of Christ. This is his own righteousness. So that's the application. So look at verse 12. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? You know that's wrong. What are you doing? And he was speechless, meaning he was without excuse. Again, because he could easily have gotten the king's garments. Then said the king to the servant, bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So again, no ambiguity here. Whenever it says outer darkness, weeping, gnashing of teeth, it always pictures hell. I mean, this is a no-brainer. So this is, again, talking about salvation. For many are called, invited, you know, to receive Christ, but few are chosen that actually follow through and trust Christ and get saved. I mean, the invitation goes to all. Christ, God loves the world. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. Sadly, few there be that find it, so few are saved. And so in the context of chapter 20, it's the 11th hour, you know, laborers who make the cut. And someone who gets saved, right, as a house is burning down and collapsing on itself, and then you think everyone's a goner, and at the final second, someone, you know, just gets, a fireman brings someone out, like, whoa, you made it, right in time, as the house comes crashing down behind. I mean, that's a joyful thing, right? It's a wonderful thing to be saved right before you die, like the thief on the cross. You know, that's a wonderful thing. So that's the context here. It's speaking about salvation, which if you go back to Matthew 19, that exchange of the rich young ruler with Jesus, he almost got saved, right? You know, because Jesus was putting his faith to the test. If Jesus was really his Lord, he would give up his wealth and follow Jesus, okay? Because if Jesus is Lord, you'll do what he says, okay? So that was the proof. He did not. He walked away. He was very rich. Didn't want to give it up for the Lord. He's not saved. He walked away literally from eternal life. Jesus was heartbroken. Jesus loved him, beheld him, but of course he turned away from him. And so that it prompted Peter to ask in verse 27 of Matthew 19. So Peter and company see this happen. And so they say, then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all, right? Because the rich young ruler, he couldn't forsake even a penny for Jesus. He just left Jesus. So Peter said, well, we forsook everything and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Which is, you know, he's just being honest. Might sound a little, okay, but hey, Peter's just being honest here. Okay, so he's speaking his heart because he did give up everything. He forsook his livelihood, you know, and he had a wife, and, you know, but now he's following Jesus, so he's not at home, you know, so, and he has a house, but now he's sleeping with Jesus, you know, in among the stones, among the rocks. And so what about us, Lord? What we get? Now, Jesus does answer, and so the Lord does give Peter and the disciples, he gives them their due reward for being his disciples, being his apostles. In fact, he tells them because they are chosen, okay, and they followed, praise the Lord, in obedience. This is their reward. But look at verse 28, and Jesus said unto them, these are the 12, verily I say to you that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, so the next world, right, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. This is a tremendous privilege for Peter and the disciples. I mean, that's great. Praise God. That's exclusive for the disciples, for the apostles. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He goes on because he wants to show a bigger point, which dovetails into the parable of the laborers in chapter 20. And so look at verse 29. And everyone, and that's the key difference. Peter is asking in verse 27, what about us? Lord, we gave up everything for you. And true, they will get blessed and rewarded for that. That's legit. That's of God. But it's not just them. It's what? Verse 29, everyone. Everyone. that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. Hallelujah. Praise God. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. This is speaking not so much among Christians, but this is comparing Christians to the unsaved. Those that fit this description, that give it all up to live for Christ and suffer great loss, but they count Christ as their gain, right? And so they give it all up, but they are last in society, but unlike the rich young ruler who, you know, is first in society, at the judgment you're going to swap because he's going to be lost, just like Lazarus and the rich man, same thing. And now these Christians are going to be first, okay? So the last shall be first. So the application, the context is salvation, okay, is salvation. And this is huge because, you know, look at verse 29. It does not include, if you want to say it this way, how the length of service. Length of service is not included in verse 29. Just sincerity. I think of dear missionary Charles Wesco. Remember Brother Wesco? What a man of God. We were blessed to have him here. I remember he preached through the whole book of Jonah, word for word, verbatim, from memory. Remember that? And I was very blessed to hear that. And it just shows me that he loves the word of God. That's why he could just preach it. A tremendous man of God. Finally, after years of deputation, he makes it to the mission field. And I think he was killed maybe 2 weeks in. Not even a month. Remember, we get the horrific news that he got shot and all that, and he bled out, and it's just horrible. I think of him here because he forsook it all, went to a foreign land. He only served but 2 weeks. Versus a veteran missionary on the field for 50 years, right? How would we ever say, oh, you know, Brother West only served for two weeks. Why does he get all these rewards? When Jesus speaks here, he's not talking about length of service. He's talking about sincerity. Remember the parable of the talents? Where, in fact, it tells us in the scripture, you know, he gave some more talents and some less talents. In fact, the way that scripture says it is, I want to see if I, where I thought I had it written out here, according to their several ability. And what always struck me was at surface level when you read that, you know, which parable on top, right? He gives the, you know, five talents, two talents, one talent, each man according to their several ability. And then, of course, he left, go away, and so they had to invest his goods. And at surface level, I used to always think, yeah, and so maybe the guy who's clever, more cleverer, smarter, quicker, stronger, just a better servant, got more talents because God knew he could handle more. And then this guy's a little slow, so I just give you one talent. Okay, that's more than you can handle. And then they did their stuff, right? Well, when you read it deeper in the context of the New Testament, payment was often equated to length of work, okay? And so something that was a penny or a denarius is equal to one day's worth of labor. And so unlike today in our society, we say, oh, that's $10, that's $20, that's $100. Back in the Bible days, it would be that's worth one day's worth of labor. The alabaster box of ointment by Mary was 300 penny, meaning it's about 300 days worth of labor, about a year's wage if you factor in the weekends and all that. You know, so value was pegged based on number of days of labor. Now, what is the value of a talent? A talent is approximately 15 to 20 years of labor. And so it got me thinking. Yes, certainly we're all made different, and God makes us, and so we have our skills and talents, okay? But what if the talents that the Lord distributes according to the several ability is based on how long the Lord knows you'll be alive? If a talent is 15 to 20 years, Jesus, he got two talents because he died in his early 30s. And so when you think of it from that standpoint, each man according to his several ability. It is your ability to serve God in your lifetime, be it 15 years, be it 80 years, right? And someone who lives to 90 would have maybe 5 or 6 talents versus someone who lives or dies young, 1 or 2 talents. That is your several ability to serve God based on the time you have, right? And so when we think of it that way, then it makes sense because the one that got the 2 talents got the same praise as the one that got the 5 talents. 5 out of 5, 2 out of 2. I think of Brother Charles Wesco. I don't know how old he was, but he was probably in his, maybe he had 2 talents, maybe very similar to the Lord Jesus Christ, died in his early 30s. And so when you think about it that way, what am I doing if I was saved at a young age? Praise God. But who would be grumpy if one of our lost loved ones that we were praying for got saved in the 11th hour? Isn't that a time of rejoicing? Praise the Lord. Why would I say, wait, he just got saved. He just served God for another year, then he's going to die anyway. Oh, you know that. What shallow thinking? What selfish thinking? What envious thinking? That's not what God desires. And I believe that's the thrust of this here. Because when I serve the Lord in the harvest field, I don't want to be like these first hour laborer, you know, having that attitude. I want to always have the attitude of a 11th hour laborer. Think of the Apostle Paul. Now he did serve for years. Praise the Lord. But his attitude was always like what? Like an 11th hour labor, right? Like he knew he didn't deserve to make the cut. And somehow by the grace of God, he got saved. And so, whoo, what a pattern for those that must be saved after him. I mean, that's awesome. What a blessing, you know? And so when we understand at the end of the day, the biggest thing that matters is, are you saved? At the start of eternity, the most significant truth is, are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? In fact, I think a brother Wesco, Revelation tells us, the crown of life, a martyr's crown, and he's got it, right? Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Length of service is not a factor. We're only saved by God's grace. We don't earn it. We don't merit it. If we labor our whole life for the Lord, we are just equally as saved as someone who is saved at the last minute, like the thief on the cross, the last minute of his life, right? It's a joy and a privilege for us to be saved. It's a joy to serve the Lord in his kingdom. If you look at verse 15, Matthew 20, verse 15, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil? An evil eye in the scripture generally refers to the envious eye, right? You know, green with envy. Because I am good. So the last shall be first and the first last. And so remember this second part of verse 16. For many be called, but few chosen. If you're saved, you're one of the few. Be thankful to be saved. Be glad, truly be glad that we're saved. In fact, we can even put it out there, looking at the parable of the talents. I dare to say that someone who uses 2 out of 2 talents, that's 100%. God will reward greater than someone who, say, uses 4 out of 6 talents. You know, because what's the math on that? 67%, right? Is that a D? And so the idea, yeah, you might have more years to live, but God gave you those talents. He wants 100%. You know, it's all relative to who we are, not kind of an absolute thing. God knows who we are, and he saves us according to his grace. We don't merit it. But may we always have the attitude of the 11th hour workers, right? That, oh, we made the cut. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. We praise you, Lord. And so what a testimony that when we assemble to worship him, it's a congregation of 11th hour attitudes. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, what a thought, Lord, to be saved, to be one of the few that are saved, Lord. And Lord, it's a joy. And help me to be reminded that many, many are called. Everyone, Lord, the Holy Spirit reproves the world, the whole world of sin, Lord. And so, but many reject him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Many will not be saved. Broad is the way to the destruction. Many be that go in thereat, Lord. And few there be that find it, the narrow and straight way to eternal life. And so, Father, if we are saved, help us always to be so thankful, Lord, not to be envious of others and just to be, you know, always sold out for you. And Lord, we are thankful for your goodness in our lives. And give us a blessed week, Lord. May we be about the kingdom business to tell others about Jesus with the 11th hour attitude. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And so you have a song.